Red Line.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and his weekend program, The Red Line, with me, Andrew Kripko.
And Sergei Strokin.
This is our first program of the year, and this is what we want to highlight as the news-breaking stories of the week that proved to be extremely tense, dramatic, and tragic. Paris attacks. Clash of civilizations becomes a reality. A spree of deadly attacks never seen before in modern French history came as a critical test for the country that boasts itself as being the cradle of Western democracy. While unity rallies brought millions to the streets, the main battle lies ahead as homegrown jihadists threaten more attacks. War in Ukraine. For real diplomacy needs an engine. The much-awaited summit of the leaders of Russia, Ukraine, Germany, and France aimed at resolving the Ukrainian conflict was postponed due to basic disagreements over the terms and conditions of the peace deal. The last-minute setback is pushing all sides to reinforce their efforts to make their future meeting in Astana a reality and a game-changer. And also, Mitt Romney. Will Americans propel him to the Oval Office? Mitt Romney, the former Massachusetts governor, hinted he might throw his hat back into a new race for the White House, backtracking on his earlier promises to never run for the presidency again. Mr. Romney's comeback can hardly inspire the 47% of Americans who he once said paid no taxes, described themselves as victims, and were dependent on the government. So let us come to our first section, Beyond the Headlines, to address the terrorist attacks in Paris that shook France and the whole world and made headlines throughout the entire week. Two terrorists stormed the offices of Charlie Hebdo magazine and slaughtered much of its staff, supposedly in reaction to their previous disrespectful characterizations of the Prophet Muhammad. In a supposedly coordinated attack, a different terrorist took hostages in a kosher market. However, all three terrorists were later killed by government forces, while an accused female accomplice slipped out and apparently fled to Syria to join the Islamic State.
Well, Andrew, I hope you'll agree that really that came as a nightmare to all of us. And I was totally devastated with the news coming from Paris. When you wake up in the morning, you switch on TV, and all of a sudden you realize that the Paris, a place which you dream to go to just to spend your holidays, all of a sudden becoming the place where terrorists are starting that really rampage. And it seems that there's no solution to that. It seems that it has taken French people by surprise. And this really poses a lot of questions. And one question, the major question is, as you put it, of course, is it a clash of civilizations?
Yes, well, you know, I think that we should address that question to our studio guest, Sergei Aznobyshev, director for the Institute for Strategic Assessment and deputy chairman of the Russia-U.S. Association. So, Sergei, is this really a clash of civilizations? What's your take on this?
Well, a good question, of course. I would say that this is the clash of representatives of civilizations, and this clash is going on for quite a period of time already. And in fact, this is clash of ideologies. You believe in some values, or you believe in some kind of God, yes? And you do not let others to interfere in this ideology, to spoil it, to do something against your belief. And this is actually what is going on. Like in communist times, what if you do something with the statue of Lenin, yes, you would be, well, prosecuted, you would be brought to court, and, it would be said that you did something about the foundations of the ideology of the state, of the belief of the people. This is what's going on, for they did something bad with the statue of Lenin, which is not Lenin, but this is just some belief of these people who participated in the act.
Okay, thank you very much for the comments, Mr. Aznobyshev. And now we're joined on the phone by Ms. Anna Neva, a prominent author calling in from Paris.
So, Anna, thank you for coming on the program. All of us are devastated with the news coming from Paris. But as we understand, there can be new battles lying ahead because some people inside France are saying, we are Kouachi, we will continue to fight. So how France is going to handle this problem?
Well, that's actually the biggest problem of the moment. The truth is that the reality is that France is completely divided. France is completely torn. And France is totally in denial, in fact. In denial of what what is the meaning of what has happened? And it's not only a question of freedom of expression. It's not only a question of terrorism. It's a question of how do we live together in France today? And that's a question that nobody wants to face. There are many, many, many new questions ahead. And I'm sorry to say that I don't see our politicians for the moment being able to face it entirely. Everybody is in denial.
But how can it happen that young people who were born in France, who lived in France, all of a sudden they attacked French citizens, they attacked French values? We believe that French was a...
It's just because they don't believe in those values. Believe in those values. And they are not the only ones. There are many people in France who don't believe in those so-called values. We have been taking too much time in France in the last years saying that we still possess these values. But in fact, no one really observed and paid attention to the fact that those values were step by step disappearing. I'm not saying that they don't exist anymore in France. I'm saying that nowadays in France, and there is nothing new in that. What is new is that people just realized it or are realizing it, that we are having problems with ourselves, with our society. And the terrorists that appeared last week are the product of France, exactly in the same way, I would say, that the terrorists, the Tsarnaev's brothers in the United States of America, are the product of America. And that's also something that the American society doesn't want to face.
Red Line. Yes, well, these are really good questions, Anna, and I'd like to ask you, where does France go from here? You mentioned some of these older values are necessary, kind of disappearing a bit, but what replaces them? What comes next? How do French people move forward with what happened?
Well, for the moment, that's what I'm saying. I have no idea where the French people will move forward. The French people themselves have no idea. You really have to understand that people here, including myself, are totally in a state of disarray. There are many people panicking. I mean, can you imagine that since it happened, we have had almost 100 cases of persecution because of people insulting police or people insulting authorities and people talking about terrorism publicly. And those people are now being put in under trial or in jail. So it's those moments are happening now. And our politicians so far don't have an answer except for Marine Le Pen, except for the Front National, unfortunately. Although right now she is not speaking out too much, Marine Le Pen herself.
Yes, well, those are really good examples that you brought up about what's happening with free speech. And, you know, you have free speech and you have hate speech laws and you have people being prosecuted for supporting the terrorists. You have people being prosecuted for anti-Semitism. But where does Islamophobia come into this? How does France deal with this? And when is it simply an opinion? And when does it become Islamophobia? And when does the French government have to get involved?
Well, you know, there is apparently Islamophobia in France, but it's not new. But to my point of view, before hating the Muslim people, people just are afraid of them. It's a fear from Muslims. And this fear from Muslim people becomes an Islamophobia, a hatred towards Muslims. And that's something that France, and not only France, other European countries in which they are a big part of the population is Muslim, have to face. But those questions, those issues, had not been faced so far. They were totally taboo. In France, it was the illusion of the good vivre ensemble. We all live together well and everybody is integrated. This is a lie. This has not worked so far.
And a final brief question. We are struggling in the studio to understand whether this can be described as a clash of civilization, as Samuel Huntington put it. So what's your take on that?
No, I disagree with that because Huntington's opinion is very opinionated. I mean, it's very stereotyped. What's happening in France is much more nuanced. We have to try to understand it much more into deeply and into the details. It will not be easy. That's also part of the perplexity of the intellectual people and the journalist and even the politician here. It's the level of complexity of this issue that really no one wanted to face and that now people will be obliged to face. I'm not saying that we have the answers. I'm saying that we are actually at least obliged to discuss it. But to discuss without hatred is not easy.
Okay, well, Anna, thank you very much for calling in. We really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Red Line.
And right now we have on the line Henrik Lerch, a news anchor at Danish TV. Hello, welcome to the program, Mr. Lerch.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you about where this all started. I remember quite a few years ago, there were some Prophet Muhammad cartoons in Copenhagen, and there was a terrorist incident and threats associated with that. Is there any connection? Can you draw some parallels between them?
Well, we've had problems with the Muhammad cartoons in Denmark way back in 2006. And a couple of years ago, there was attempted murder on one of the cartoonists. So when things happened in Paris recently, of course, it made everybody suddenly remember what happened here in Denmark also. So it made quite an impact in Denmark.
Mr. Lerch, we are struggling in the studio to understand whether what happened in Paris can be described clash of civilization. What's your take on that?
I wouldn't call it a clash of civilization.
Why?
I think what we are seeing is a group of very frustrated young people being radicalized. And this, of course, is a very dangerous development. We're also seeing a lot of Muslim organizations, moderate Muslim organizations, trying to deal with this and trying to find ways to stop these young people from being involved in fighting in Syria and Iraq and doing terrorist attacks like the ones we saw in Paris.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Lerch, for joining us today. Thank you very much.
Red Line.
And right now, joining us on the phone is David Stupples. He is a cybersecurity expert at the University of London Center for Cybersecurity Studies. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, we're wondering over here at Moscow, how do the Paris attacks reverberate in London, given, you know, the 2012 atrocities that occurred? And with your cybersecurity expertise, we're wondering about, with these Prophet Muhammad cartoons, even if, let's just say, Charlie Hebdo ceases publication today, these pictures will always be on the internet. How do we deal with this? These pictures are now eternal.
Well, I think from the point of view of the atrocity in Paris, here in London, we're just as shocked as we were our own problems back in the earlier part of this century, and our heart goes out to all of the victims. But on the cybersecurity side, is that while I don't think Charlie Hebdo will in fact cease publication, but the pictures will forevermore be on the internet, and there's not very much anyone can do about it. They can be taken off Facebook and they can be taken off. Google might be able to then turn around and say, well, we'll take them down as well. But they will just be put back up again and they will just continue. And so forevermore they will be there. And it's whether it sinks in people's memories, people don't look at them. But I would suspect that it would always be reasonably popular to do so.
Mr. Topples, we know that social networks are a powerful tool in the hands of terrorists, and social networks doesn't have any nationality. But what can be done in practical terms just to avoid such things, to prevent them from using these, if there is any way to do this?
Well, in some countries, of course, it's banned to take these images from the internet and publish them, or it's also banned to be able to push it out other social media. So, for instance, in UK, if these images were broadcast, say, on Twitter, it would be against the law, and because of incitement, and the organisation itself will be asked to remove them, and I'm sure they will. But it's a cat and mouse game, because there are many parts of the internet which are anonymous, and so therefore that these images will continue to appear.
Okay, Mr. Stupples, thank you for the insight. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have, and thank you for coming on the program today and sharing your thoughts with us. So I'd like to thank all of our guests. First of all, Mr. Sergei Aznobyshev, Director of the Institute of Strategic Assessment, Anna Neva, prominent author who called in from Paris today, Mr. Henrik Lerch, a news anchor from Copenhagen, and Mr. David Stupples, Professor at City University London, Center for Cybersecurity Sciences. Following in our program, we have War in Ukraine. Four-wheel diplomacy needs an engine. And also, Mitt Romney, will Americans propel him to the Oval Office? Stay with us.